Hello and thank you for joining me today. I'm Mindy McNeil. For this month's wine and food pairing, we are joined in studio, of course, with Carolyn Joy of Joy Wine and Spirits.
Hello, Mindy.
Hello, Carolyn. And Cameron Tittle, and he is from Moss Chaos. And so thank you so much for being here, both of you, this morning.
Of course.
Now, okay, you're going to see on the website, this is like a little gourmet feast. I'm so excited. I'm so happy. We have shrimp tacos.
Gourmet and healthy.
Oh, yes, and healthy. Yes. Hello.
Yeah, that's pretty healthy.
Yeah.
Well, pretty healthy, yeah.
Pretty healthy.
Cameron, yeah, because Cameron and I were emailing back and forth, and I said, you know, could you bring shrimp tacos? Could you do something else? And he brought a little something else. This alone, this something else, is this beautiful watermelon salad, could be a meal all by itself. So this is just amazing. So I want to kind of dive in here, both into talking to you and into the plate as well, Cameron. So I want to find out, because you are the one who can get creative on certain things, do things. So I want to know, how does it roll in your section of town when it comes to preparing this, or your thought process behind some of this?
It's just called Flavor Town. That's it. Make it all taste good.
Well, because I guess the thing I'm looking at here, we've got a lot of ingredients. I mean, just even with the watermelon salad, if we could start with that, because I'm seeing we've got the watermelon, we've got is this a vinaigrette that's on top or what?
There's balsamic vinegar, and then there's a cucumber champagne vinaigrette on there.
So how do you make that cucumber champagne vinaigrette? That sounds yummy.
I just blend cucumbers, strain out all the juice, and then cucumber juice, champagne vinegar, honey, some shallots, oil.
So raw shallots?
Raw shallots.
Yeah. That's really, it's super refreshing, and it gives like a little nuance to it. I have one other question. So the champagne vinaigrette, is that something that you actually make, or are you buying that?
Oh, the vinaigrette for the salad?
No, just the vinaigrette itself.
Oh, the vinegar. Yeah. I have to buy that, yeah.
It okay, I was just
Italy.
Curious. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think that there's so much, you know, there's all these little things happening in dishes that maybe the home chef doesn't think about. And we know a lot about oils now, but not everybody knows about all these different vinegars even that are available. And they add such different components to dishes.
Oh, like vinegar is like the most important like component to a dish. Like mm-hmm. I put vinegar on almost everything.
For the acid,
yeah,
or
that acidity is just wonderful in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And champagne vinegar is like one of my favorite things ever. It's super light. It's not crazy heavy like red wine vinegar is, or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not as edgy. Yeah. I think that, you know, sometimes vinegar can be harsh.
You can overdo it.
I mean, yeah, I mean, we clean products or we clean things with vinegar sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that champagne vinaigrette really, and it's a nice compliment to the watermelon because, you know, the watermelon is sweet, but you don't necessarily want to have this imbalance.
I was going to say overcompensate. Yeah. Is that a good word?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to take away from that, like, natural watermelon
away.
Flavor. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just kind of equal it out.
Mm-hmm. And also arugula can be really strong, too, and peppery. And so I think
so
that
peppery,
you don't want
yeah.
something that's super acidic with that either.
Well, especially like rolling into summer, arugula gets like super peppery.
Yeah, right.
Kind of ends up tasting like mustard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very spicy.
Yep.
Yeah. So is this something that you might serve at the restaurant?
I am actually serving it right now.
Cool.
At the restaurant.
We think of tacos with Moss Chaos. So it's nice, I think, to be able to have a whole meal because sometimes you don't want just tacos and you want a little green, or you just feel like you want something... Some veggies with your meal.
Something light, yeah, because we also do serve pizza there, too. So you
True,
have two
yeah.
options there, but they're both, like, equally heavy
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day. So a nice, refreshing salad to start it off.
Yeah, or finish.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm the type of person, I know some people eat their salad first. I actually like to eat my salad last.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's like a cleansing thing or a cleaning thing to take care of. So I'm kind of an odd duck like that. I mean, I'll have dessert at the end, but
yeah.
when people have, oh, let's get salad, and they bring the salad, I'll usually wait until, unless I'm starving, then, you know, then I'm like, okay, it's all everyone for themselves. But I am, but this is good. And what kind of nuts are these? Are these pine nuts?
Those are pepitas.
Pepitas, okay. Yeah.
So just pumpkin seeds.
So is this something that was already on the menu, or is this your creation, this watermelon salad?
So this is a variation. We've been doing this every springtime since we opened. I just kind of switch it up every year my own way, and this is this year's.
You know, the other thing I love, too, is because I'm not a huge watermelon fan. I don't know why, but I do love watermelon and, like, either a feta or I think this is, you said, the cotija?
No, that's actually feta.
Oh, this is feta.
Is feta. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I love watermelon and feta and then the vinegar with it. I think that whole combination is really great.
Yeah.
So this is delicious.
Okay, so Carolyn, you brought a white wine. So hearing that there's a champagne Champagne vinaigrette, is that?
Cucumber champagne vinaigrette.
Cucumber champagne. Does that kind of clash, or does that complement, or how does this go with this white wine? What did you bring?
I think it's always hard to pair like arugula, and it's always hard to pair vinegar with wine and salad with wine. So I really wanted to bring a wine that spoke of summer, because watermelon definitely speaks of summer. And, you know, even shrimp tacos, you start thinking about lighter fare. And also something that would pair with this. My other sort of motivation in the wine that I chose is that this whole week is Natural Wine Week. And I know I talk a lot about natural wine. And sometimes it gets old, even for me. You know, it's kind of a box, and it's not necessarily a good box to always be in, because there are natural wines that are flawed, and I personally don't like, just like there's other conventionally made wines that I also don't like. But this happens to be one in a winemaker that I really think is fantastic. Her name is Martha Stueman, and she's got these, like, really whimsical labels, and she's been working with wine, you know, pretty much her whole adult life. And she's a real advocate for transparency and also for the environment. So one of the things that I love about her is that she's not going to be in a box where she has these really rigid rules that she can't use any commercial yeast. She doesn't use commercial yeast, but she is willing to accept some alternative or conventional farming if it's necessary. Generally, all of her vineyards are going to be organic, from organically grown grapes.
Okay.
But, for example, she has one grower that she works with, and he happens to use a one-time application of a fungicide that has a very short life and is in and out of the vine in a very short amount of time. And so she's willing to accept that, and she's transparent about it. So I think that speaks volumes about what she represents in her wine, and also, you know, represents a lot of other winemakers in this movement.
Okay, so I have a question then, because I know I had mentioned this before we went on air, and you've mentioned the word yeast, and so I had mentioned to you, this kind of tastes like beer in a sense.
It's kind of like a saison almost.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and if you look at it, you see. Okay, so this is the post-filtration white from Martha Stueman. It's 2018 vintage, and it's all from California, and it's a blend. It's got Roussan and Colombard. This post-filtration white, it's a blend, and it's 40% Roussan, 23% Colombard, 17% Marsan, and 15% Muscat. So these are California grapes, and these are varietals that you don't hear a lot about in California. So she's finding these. A lot of them are really old vineyards, like the Colombard comes from a vineyard planted in 1943, and it's all organic. So. And she gets a lot from Mendocino County, because they don't need to use as many fungicides up there because it's a much drier climate. But she's finding a lot of family farmers, third and fourth generation people, and then she's doing a lot of the farming on her own. So if you look at this wine, you'll see that it's slightly cloudy, and that's because she's not using anything to filter or fine the wine. And so there's probably, you know, a little bit of lees in there and what other organic matter. And also, she's using totally natural yeast. And so there's a little bit of sediment, a little bit of this yeasty component. I did something called Coravin this wine, which means I didn't open it with a cork. I actually used this thing that replaces inert gas in there so that we can enjoy this wine later, since we're drinking it early this morning.
Yeah, that was something that looked interesting to me, because honestly, I'm used to, you know, how she brings it and opens it or does different things. This one, though, you were able to pour out of it, and I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
With the
This is called a Coravin. This is really a cool little tool that we have now to use, and I love it because it allows us to open up wine without exposing it to a lot of oxygen.
Yeah, because it's so, not corked right now, but you were still able to pour.
Right,
that
it's a really thin hollow needle.
Okay.
And it replaces inert gas in there while it pours out the wine. And I find that it does change it slightly. Like, it's not always, you know, and as Martha Stueman points out, this is a living product right now. And so when you open it, and, you know, the conditions in which you open it, it might taste different at different times of when you're opening it, especially because she's not doing anything really to stabilize the wine when she bottles it, in terms of like blasting it with CO2 or anything else to preserve the wine. But what the Coravin lets us do is, let's say you have a more expensive bottle of wine and you only want a glass. And especially with white wine, because I find that with red wine, it will change over a few days and often it will improve. But with white wine, I find that it loses some of the freshness or the aromas and the floral components or the fruit components to the wine. So it's really nice to have this little tool, which is not cheap, you know.
Yeah.
But if you're drinking good wine or you don't want to drink a lot, or let's say you might want a white wine and a red wine with your dinner and you're not going to finish both bottles, or maybe it's just you and you don't want to finish the bottle, you know, perhaps that might happen. So I love this Coravin because it allows us to open up wine, and we do this at the store more and more now, where we're opening wine, tasting it, and saving it without having to toss it, because a lot of wine is wasted in the wine industry too.
I see, like, after like 2 days with a bottle of white wine, like
it's done. I when I go to a restaurant, I prefer to buy a bottle of wine because you never know how long, especially with white again, that it's been open, and it really is different. And you know, if you're really tasting and you're not too busy talking to your friends or whatever it is that you're distracted by, you can taste the difference. So having a Coravin, even at a restaurant, and a lot of restaurants have some preservation system or they're going with taps, which I love because it keeps the wine nice and fresh. But I find the Coravin is like totally worth the investment as a consumer. And you have this little cartridge that you can replace that has the gas in it, because it does run out and the needles break after a bit. But I think it's great.
Just for me, because I don't know if anybody else goes through this, but, you know, when I'm at home by myself, because, you know, I'll open up a bottle of Moscato or something, and I'm like, oh, the cork. Sometimes I'll have the cork, you know, in there because I can't put the screw in properly. So to see that, I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, I had to YouTube one time. I'm like, how do you get the cork out, you know, and stuff, because I'm not talented. But this thing right here, I feel like it eliminates all that nonsense.
Yeah, the cork is in the bottle. And it's not always easy. You know, you might need to use a little muscle strength. But I was thinking about you too, Mindy, when I brought this wine, because it has Muscat Blanc in it. So it's not necessarily the same. But if you can kind of, Moscato, I get a lot of apricot and peach.
Okay.
And here she's vinified it. So this is completely dry. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an oxymoron, because it's very dry and it's also really low in alcohol. Because a lot of times a white wine that's really dry will have at least 13%, and this is only 10%.
Okay.
So that's another reason why.
Really low.
Yeah, it is very low. And again, I love that for summer. And it's not, you know, there's no alcohol that's gonna overwhelm your food. Mm-hmm. And she calls it the lemonade of wine.
That's honest. Okay, because when I was looking at the bottle, because, you know, usually when you see wine, and like Carolyn alluded to earlier, Cameron, is that it's usually clear, you know, this is cloudy. And when I look at wine, I'm usually like, oh, it's just nice and clear and everything else. So this is it. Kind of reminds me of a little bit of lemonade.
Yeah.
That lemonade look to it.
Yeah, and I think this fits also in with this really healthy eating. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't want to harp too much, but I'm learning all the time about what goes into wine production.
Okay.
And I think, you know, there is a conventionally grown grape and wine, and actually not even just the growing of it, but how it's processed, and that those people really want consistency from vintage to vintage. And it was also a result of the industrialization of farming starting back in the 1900s, when we started having more mechanical, like tractors and things, and more industrialized farming. And so that transferred into grape growing and winemaking. But now you have this, I'm going to say movement, but what these people are, many of them are trying to do is really not take away from the environment. You know, they want to be responsible. You know, it is part of agriculture, but it's not that industrialized part of agriculture. And then that goes from the farm. This is one other thing that she says that I just love. A grape is like a winemaking kit. Mm. Everything that you need to make wine is in that grape if it is grown properly.
Oh, wow.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, isn't that? That's awesome. Yeah, the acidity, sugar, water, nutrients to feed the yeast, color, and tannin are on the skins. And then on the skins, if the grape is healthy and it's been farmed correctly and there's no rot or fungus on it, mm-hmm. then you have all the yeast that you need to start the wine.
Okay.
And that, you know, you take that into the cellar, that yeast starts the fermentation, and then the yeast in the environment finishes the fermentation.
Does the job. Okay.
Yeah. And so I love that what she's trying to do is take this little kit and basically make wine.
Wow. Well, but I will say this is a good wine. So
I could probably pound that whole bottle if you give me the opportunity. Yeah,
Cameron's like, let me show you how it's done. Real quickly though, before we end, Cameron, I do want to ask you. Okay, because we've got the shrimp tacos here. There is the feta is on it.
It's cotija.
The cotija. Okay. So the cotija is on the taco. So, and then my other question though too is, you said that you normally have a sauce, but you put a cucumber on this one as well?
So I put the same cucumber vinaigrette on that shrimp taco.
Okay.
Just to keep it all cohesive this morning. Mm-hmm. But typically it's a salsa verde.
Oh, okay.
Like a tomatillo and avocado salsa.
And it's working. So this is great. And okay, so where is Mas Chaos located?
We are on 45th and Tennyson.
Oh, you're just around the corner. Yep. So yeah.
Right
so,
over
okay.
here.
Okay.
We're attached to Call to Arms Brewery.
Okay.
It's one big building.
Great. Okay. And then, and then Carolyn, as usual, 6 and Marion. So, and I did want to ask, so will you be sampling or tasting this wine tonight?
Tonight we'll have a natural wine. We actually just tasted this wine.
Okay.
And there's not a ton of it, so I don't know if there will be enough to have it again. But we have so many naturally made wines. And again, I don't want to be put in that box because some of those wines they're not my style necessarily. They expand the palate for everyone.
Okay.
It's bringing wine to a totally different dimension from oaky berry, dark fruit to like lemonade or bright rhubarb. And funky things. So it's not that any one is bad or good. But also tonight, this, like I mentioned, this whole week is Natural Wine Week. If you go to our website, there's a grand tasting happening tonight. We'll also have some wine open tonight, but there's an opportunity for people. If you like grass-fed beef, if you care about fair trade coffee, you know, probably if you're a supporter of Kuvo, and you care about, you know, organic lettuces or whatever things that you eat, then you're already kind of part of this movement to drink wine that is made without a lot of chemicals.
And that's perfect. Yeah, because the more natural, the better. So
yeah, like I said, it's just different. And it doesn't mean that, please, I don't want to seem snobby at all. Like, we have a lot of conventionally grown or conventional wines.
Okay.
Because we want to give people what they want.
Yes.
But we also, like, there's a lot of things we just don't know about as consumers. Mm-hmm. And even as a retailer and as a person that's been working in wine for over 20 years, I don't even understand everything that's always going into the wine, because I'm not in the cellar.
Yeah.
And I'm not a chemist. You know, a lot of the enologists are really, they know a lot about chemistry.
Okay.
And so if you care about those things, you might want to try some of these wines.
Great. Well, I'd like to say thank you both for being here today, and amazing food and great wine. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cheers. You.